I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Everton Fan Focus podcast, back for 2017. Tonight we're in the James Monroe pub and we're joined, myself and Mark are joined by Ben.
Hello.
We're also joined by Darren.
All right.
Seddo.
Hello.
Paul, the owner of the James Monroe.
Hello.
And we're also joined by former Everton defender Derek Mountfield.
I'm off.
Thanks for stopping, Derek.
Cheers, bud.
That's it. We'd just like to thank Derek for being on tonight. So, lads, we've got a bit of a script here, but I'm assuming we're all on high spirits after yesterday's performance at Goodison Park.
Yeah, my jaw hasn't picked itself back up watching Tom Davis do the, you know, like the whatever that was, Crichton or whatever it was they've done on
the
side.
The Ronaldo chop.
Yeah, it was almost
the Davis chop.
It was almost better than the finish that he put back in the net. Unbelievable, that great second half ever.
It was an emphatic victory in the end, wasn't it? And I don't think many of us expected it, but it was kind of a nice way to bounce back after last week's disappointment going out the cup. Did you see the game yourself, Dexy?
Yeah, I went to the Leicester game, and to say it was disappointment would be an understatement. So my comment to my friend this morning, he rang me, I said, where did that come from yesterday? Because we can't go from being so poor against Leicester in the FA Cup, which for me is the greatest competition in football. It's fantastic to being so outstanding against a team like Man City. We've got to do the Man City game after game, week after. We've now, as I said, I sent a tweet out yesterday, we've now set the standards. We know we can do it. There's no excuses now. We know we can do it. We did it against allegedly one of the best teams in the Premier League, but unfortunately they're not at the moment.
We're
pretty much close to them now. But we've now set our standards now. We know that the team we put out on Sunday can do it. So we've got to make sure we do it every single week now.
What do you put the inconsistency down to then? Obviously, you know, good one week and not the best the next.
It's hard to say. I said this some of the week. I got a little bit sick of Koeman's comments that we haven't got the players to do it. Yeah. Well, you have the players Monday to Friday on the training field. Mm-hmm. You make them do what you want them to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think sometimes people look in the... I go back to where I play. People look for excuses to ease in the game. Oh, it's because of this, it's because of that. You've had them players now since July. You've worked with them for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
Why can't they do what you want to do every week? Mm. And I just get a bit worried that are the players listening to him? Yeah. Is he doing the right things in training?
Yeah.
Is he telling people? And I'll have a little dig about it. You had a go at Ross Barkley in the media.
Yeah.
Is that the right thing to do? Is it not? Come with me, Ross, in my room, and a little arm around the shoulder. Is he criticising players too openly in the media?
Yeah.
Telling people that we're not good enough? I don't know, but we've now done it, and we've done it fantastically well on Sunday, and we've got to do it every week now, simple as that.
That's what he said about the squad, where he said there's players in the squad who know they're not good enough for the, you know, they're not going to be here, or what he was saying, even in the squad right now, they're not going to be here in the future. What's that do to a player when they hear that? And these players will know who they are, I'm guessing.
Nowadays, they don't think they're overly concerned, because they're going to get a move, make even more money. But if you go back to 2 years ago when he arrived at Southampton, and did he have a squad of players there that he inherited?
Yeah.
Did they start playing a high-pressing game when he was there? Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And I think we've got a better squad of players than Southampton had when he arrived there 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, but if you're told you're not wanted, obviously what do you do? Do you do a Dimitri Payet and say, I'm not playing for you, I'm going to sulk? Or do you just keep on trying day after day in training? Whenever you play, you give you 100%. But what he has done for me, and I think Tom Cleverley isn't a bad little player. He's never been played his proper position. He's played him out wide. If you're not going to play a player who's a midfield player in midfield, don't play him at all. Don't stick him out wide, let him say, do a job for me. Play in the position he should be playing in.
Yeah.
So some of the players have been pushed out of position, and it's very hard to set your standard and do as well when you come in for one game out of position than having four or five games in your natural position and showing what you can do.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? I said the same thing, I know this is an Everton podcast, but I said the same thing about Tottenham. Tottenham are playing players in their proper positions, and it's so fluid and looks good. And I think that's been our problem for many a year. We're playing players because we need someone to play on the left.
Yes.
Instead of playing someone on the left, you can't, like Tom Cleverley, that's where he's playing. Just sign someone for there and play them in the proper position. That's one of my pet hates.
It's like a round peg and a square hole.
It is.
I use an example against Leicester when we played Seamus Coleman at right wing.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say to Alan Lennon, Morales, Delafeu, that, hold on, he's a right wing, right back, he's playing in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously he's not convinced he's got the right squad by making that sort of decision.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to understand, the manager comes in, they have their own ideas, their own philosophies, their own thoughts.
Yeah.
And I've been involved where clubs manager will come in and said, sorry son, Ron Atkins didn't mean Villa, you're not in my plans, out you go. But Ron made it perfectly clear early on, he didn't go to the media and say, don't like him, he's not playing for me.
Yeah.
He told me, look, you're not in the plan, so when you get the chance to move it out, I'll move it out. Which he did.
I think when he says that, Coombe, when he gets his own players, he puts a lot of pressure on himself, doesn't he? That they're going to have to perform when he's got the players that he wants in.
Yeah.
When he gets away, like.
Especially because we're not shopping in the bargain basements anymore, are we? Do you know what I mean? So if he brings a player in, like Schneidlin for 24 million, he's going to expect a return from it.
Yeah.
Just when you said there about players have to do what they've got to do to try and make that first 11. Now, you know, I personally, I think Umani Asi probably being given a bit of a disservice by Ronald Koeman by, you know, the reports in the media, by not giving him a locker. You know, what would you feel if that was you?
It's hard to say. To be honest, I saw that young lad about twice and I wondered who the hell he was because he looked like he couldn't track a bag of cement, as they say. But you've got to feel sorry. He wants to improve. He's been signed for a lot of money. He wants to show the club what he can do. He didn't get a chance under Martinez, really.
No.
And then he's coming in and Koeman said, like, you're nowhere near. And whether he got a locker or not got a locker, what he's done with the under 23s and Dave Unsworth, you've got to give him praise for.
Yeah.
Because he's not gone and sulked. He's not gone and him.
No.
He's gone and done what he can do.
Yeah,
playing against youngsters, but he's gone and done what he has to do. And now he's got to move. And we've just got to wish him all the best.
Yeah.
He never got a chance. He was never going to get a chance at Everton under Koeman, but he's now moved on. We've got to wish him all the best. But all credit to him for not sulking, but getting on and doing it while he was still here.
Well, I went to a Everton fan shareholders thing with Andy, and Unsworth couldn't speak high enough of Nias. He said he's helped that Calvin Lewin loads. He said, and everything I've asked him to do, he's done. He hasn't sulked, he hasn't down tools. He's given everything he could for down under 23s, and I think that says more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
But I mean, what we're talking about there is people, players being taken out of the squad, players being loaned out. But ultimately, you know, all due respect, we wanted to see a more ruthless Everton, shall we say,
under
Ronald Koeman. I've put a question down there to yourself, Degsy, about Roberto Martinez. Maybe you've come a bit soft. I think in terms of Mascheri and Koeman on board, the overall outlook on the club is a lot more cutthroat, shall we say, a lot more ruthless, a lot more demanding. So it's kind of like if you're not good enough or you're not playing well enough, you won't get in that side. So I don't know, would everyone agree on that? Is that the right
definitely,
way to be?
Yeah.
I mean, January is going to be a massive month. I've already started
signing
players.
I think that's the
way
they want to be. They can't quite do it yet because he hasn't had the squad in depth to start acting left, right and centre. But I think that's the image they want to portray, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And is that just because of Koeman? Is that because of Mascheri?
I think the whole club's going to change. Whether we move in the next two years, the whole club's going to change because Mascheri's come and the media keeps saying the new owner. We know he's not the owner, he's the majority shareholder.
Yes.
And he's taken 6 to 8 months and he's just watched what's gone on at the club.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, the last 6 months, things have moved on. Got a new manager, we've got these new commercial deals, and he's going, we're not doing it right here. We've got to do this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And you can see the influence of a man who's made over £1 billion out of business. coming in. I'm looking at the club and going, we can do better, we have to do better.
Yeah.
And he's going to make sure that we progress financially, commercially, and on the field the highest we possibly can. He's not just stood there and just what? He's now, you can see the image he's put on the club, the new stadium, talk about this new commercial deal.
Yeah.
You know, the investment to Finch Farm. We hope that this fella now is going to come with money. But you can see what he's done. He's taken 6 to 8 months to assess what Everton need.
Yeah.
And then he's made his mark.
Yeah.
And I can see a master. I don't go very often now, but I can see the difference in the whole outlook of the club now for the future.
Would you say the ruthlessness then, in that case, has come from the top? It doesn't start with the manager. It literally starts with the majority shareholder, the man who sits at the top of the tree.
Well, he's brought a manager in who is known for his arrogance.
Yeah.
A lot of the European people are. So the manager come with a bit of arrogance and look what I've done. I've got this and I've done that.
Yeah.
But the owners come with the same sort of...
Yeah.
Whether it's arrogance, I don't know, but he's come with it. Yeah, I'm into the club now, but I'm not going to do things straight away. Some owners come in and just do things straight away for their own reasons.
Yeah.
You know, they sacked the manager. I mean, he waited 4 or 5 months before he said, right, got to get rid of Edson Martinez, we've got to go and get someone else. And he's done the right thing. Yeah. He sat back and analysed and said, no, as a club, we're not good enough, and we've got to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G before we can go to LMM.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we're getting there slowly but surely. We are getting there, and I can see from a distance the difference he's made.
Yeah. See, that's why I like about it for so long now under Ken Wright and all that. There was like maybe an acceptance that Everton, we're never going to get to the top, and you know, you've seen all the DVDs, Magnificent Seven, all that sort of stuff. There was no real desire. Now it feels like there's a real desire to get Everton back there. That's why it feels like really exciting, because the owner's talking about, we don't want to be a museum, we want to be competitive and stuff like that. That was music to everyone's ears. We haven't heard that.
I'm in that
museum. Since John Moore's.
I'm in that museum.
Sorry, Derek.
Don't you think that the signing, or the saga of the signing of Schneiderlin, makes a bit of a mockery of that? I mean, if we are meant to be, you know, I don't want to throw a spanner in the works, but if we are meant to be this now billionaire in charge, Man United wanted 24 million for him, whether he was worth it or not, we should have just gone and grabbed this 24 million, let's get him through the door. They said we're only going to pay 19 million for him. Why addle about 3 or 4 million quid? I mean,
My personal thoughts on that is, it's still a business at the end of the day. You don't want to go out and spend 24 million on a player that you don't think is worth 24 million. And you know, I think Everton have played really well there. And, you know, the initial 20 million up front, from what we're being told, is another 4 million in add-ons. I think Everton have done a really good deal there because, you know, one, he's still a young player. Two, you know, he'll put himself above the pitch and he will make a big impact.
United wanted what they paid for him, but he was unproven, so surely his value drops a little bit for that reason, wouldn't it? It's not like he proved himself.
But the thing is, we don't know the ins and outs of a Premier League transfer deal, do we? And I think that price tag, personally, is what you pay for. I'm not going to say he's proven Premier midfielder, but he is a Premier League midfielder.
Yeah.
I see what you mean there, Paul, in terms of the club wanting to just go out and just go, right, there's the 25 mil. Bang, it's done.
I don't want to compare us to Man City, but you look at when they came into the money, they didn't, if they wanted the player, they were prepared to pay the price, if you know what I mean. But I do accept the point that it is a business, and we did get a good deal at the end of the day, so I'm contradicting myself now.
I'd like to see
us go out and go, yeah, we want that player, here's the check, let's get it.
You're not the only Evertonian who's frustrated at that. The dragging out of that deal, shall we say? But I see what you say there, Seddo, about the terms of business. But I think Everton identified a player who wanted to come, and ultimately they're not just going to get held to ransom because they've got a few quid. So I think Mashiri is more for the long game. You know, he'll get his target, and he'll know he'll get his plan for the club. But it's going to take a lot longer than, shall we say, Sheikh Mansour at Man City.
You've got to remember now, a year ago, we might never have got Schneiderlin. But now we've got Mashiri in. That player that Everton was £10 million last year, they know we've got money. It's going to be £15 million.
Yeah,
every player we sign now will be more expensive to realise, because everyone knows that Everton have money. So every time you know you've got money, like look at the players Man City bought. Is Otamendi worth £30 million?
No.
You know, they bought him because, it's Man City. Oh, we've put up a £10 million.
You'd be worth at least £31 million, at least £30 million.
Lira. Is that Lira? But no, you've got to understand now that City bought a lot of players and they're vastly overpriced.
Yeah.
I don't think, I'm not slagging off, John Stones and Sterling, the team are not worth 98 million quid.
No.
But they're good young English players, so the value goes up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also Man City buying them. Good, and the clubs know they've got money, so the price goes up. And we're going to have the same situation. Yeah. When you think he's only worth £20 million, they're going to want £26 million for him. Because it's Everton.
Yeah.
So you've got to understand in the future now, when you think it might drag out, because the selling club are trying to get what they can out of us, knowing that they've got pennies. So just be aware that every deal now might take an extra week or two longer, because we're now classed as a rich club.
God, what would you and Ratcliffe had to cost then if these players?
21 lira.
I thought you'd carry them way too much, thanks.
No, I made him a great centre off.
So I think we've obviously covered the Morgan Schneiderlin deal there. I think we're all obviously fans of the player.
Yeah.
The price tag is a subject to debate, but in terms of what we've spent already this window, I think it's 33 million. I could be wrong with that, or it's rising to 30 million, 33 million. Sorry, but it's definitely over 30. And we've signed Morgan Schneiderlin and obviously Lukman from Charlton. What other areas do you think we need to strengthen? I'll put it to you first, Eggsy, and the rest of you as well, just because obviously I think Everton are going to spend more, aren't they?
We've got to have to spend more. If you want a squad that wants to compete on a regular basis, you need cover for every single position. And if you look at some of the positions we've got, is the cover adequate if that player comes out? And I'd say no, it's not. Yeah. So obviously you've got to look at the centre-back position, the goalkeeper position, possibly the left back position, because Baines is the wrong side of 30. Yes, he's got many more years that you don't know. Gareth Barry will be phased out. I think Schneider might take his place. Do we stay with Guy McCarthy? If Lukaku comes out the side, for me we've got nothing up there.
No,
Lukman's too young, too inexperienced. Valencia, Kone, not really. So we need a striker if Rom comes out, but we need a striker that's going to be a similar player to Rom for me, because at the moment he's scoring goals and he's. On Sunday, he showed what he can do.
Yeah, he showed what he can do.
So I think we need to look all over the field of play. It might mean that there might be 7-8 players going out in the next 2 or 3 windows between now and next January, and 10 or 12 coming in. But as much as we say we want A, B, C, D, and E, it's up to the manager. That player might not suit the managers. And I've had this before. Oh, we signed him. Does he suit what the manager wants? You've got to understand that all the people you see with things linked to the paper, I just go. Chip paper tomorrow morning, that for me, because I think a lot of the time it's speculation, and I think the famous quote is a source close to the player. Okay, the agent rang me. That's what it is. And I listened to someone on one of the radio stations this morning saying that his agent told him that this club came in for him, and he said to the club, "I don't want to play for you because they've come in for it. I want to move." So the player's forced to move because the agent's told him. So it's going to happen. Evan, people and where Evan want to buy him. They're aware of their agents. Players will want to come out of our club because they're not getting a chance. And the people like Cleverley, Kone, Valencia, has McCarthy got a long-term plan within Koeman's plans? I don't know.
He's been linked with Newcastle today.
There's all these players that are going to be moving on. And then he's got to make sure. There's rumours there about Jags going. I'm sure Koeman is looking around at players he wants to bring into the team. What I'd like to see is more of the Lukemans coming in, the youngsters, because we've seen with the Holgates and the Davises, and even when Coleman came in 4 or 5 years, 6 years ago, they've done fantastic. Yeah. And kids can't come and have 1 or 2 games. They need a run of games and decide to find the feet and get used to it.
Yeah.
And you see so many managers throw a kid in for his debut and he gets rave report and he's back in the reserves for another 6 months.
Yeah.
If he's good enough, leave him in there. Tom Davis has proved that the last 6 weeks. He's come in and he said, right then, I'm ready for it.
What I liked about the Lukman deal, it looked like we'd stolen a match on other clubs for once. That's how it come across to me, like we pinned someone who looks clearly a good player.
He'd been clearly scouted, though, hadn't he, for a long time by Walsh. And it was a big price to pay for a League One forward.
But as we said before, it's Everton.
Yeah.
Could be gotten for £5 million last year. That's absolutely. It. It's all about look where we are now.
Sharp, you know, we've got money.
We're in the paper all the time about this new stadium and the money we've got and the new Gibraltar shareholder. Everyone knows we've got the cash.
So the fees are only going to go up.
No, everything's going to go up.
Inflation. Unsworth on Talk Sport today said there's no player we can't get. It's just if we can get them over.
There's no player any club can get. You can get him on if the deal's right for the selling club and the player.
Yeah,
but don't expect Messi to come to Everton. Thank you, Michael Jones, before he comes to us.
So just putting that to the rest of you as well, is there any specific areas? I think we all probably agree with Dexy what we say about a striker. Any other critical areas?
Would you say? That number 10 ideally come in, I'm a specialist. I know we ain't ever going to get Mata, but a player like that I think would be perfect. If we could be great Peter Beardsley from the 90s, that would be, you know, something like that. I think we just lack that bit of extra quality behind the striker at times when we're attacking that.
I'll be honest, I'd genuinely still make a play for Wayne Rooney. I genuinely would because the lessons that he can give the younger players, the likes of Barkley, Luchman, Davis, you know, that you can't buy that experience in my opinion, you know.
And mentality.
And the winner mentality that he's had at Man United, you know, he's won countless trophies with Man United. I don't know whether you might agree with me of bringing Rooney back.
I think Wayne's a quality footballer. I really do. I think he's been outstanding in his career. Yeah. And what I will say to people is about Wayne is if you look back to when he broke into Everton's first team,
2002.
Has he had a break from football in that time? Because he's been season England.
Yeah.
So obviously he's going to start feeling the pace, but once he retires from international football, he's going to have a summer off, probably the first time in 16 years.
Yeah.
And it makes a hell of a difference when you haven't got that continuous 12-month cycle of football.
So
Wayne's been outstanding for me for the last 10, 12 years. He's been brilliant.
Yeah.
Love watching him. I love his aggression, his passion. Yeah, he makes mistakes. Oh, I make plenty of mistakes, for crying out loud. But, you know, he's now, for me, unfortunately, by I'll use the London media, being made the scapegoat for everything that goes wrong with English football.
Yeah.
Every time he pulls his shirt off, they always pick on somebody, and he's been made the scapegoat.
I've
really
had a few drinks after the.
I know someone who was sitting right next door to him, but never got hauled into the media. So he got hauled in by the papers
on that particular night.
On that night, not sure who it was, but.
He wasn't newsworthy enough.
It wasn't fair enough. But he was there, and because it's Wayne Rooney, England captain.
Yeah.
He didn't go out the hotel. He was asked for a few photographs. Yeah, he might have a few beers at 5 o'clock in the morning, but I was in Carlisle Town Centre, 3:30 on Saturday.
What pizza was it, by the way?
Oh, I can't remember. It was pretty nice. But, you know, all of a sudden, because it's Wayne, he's going to get all the.
Yeah.
Big news.
You need to get. Well, he can't let his hair down. He hasn't got his hair down.
But got less hair than the two Ellis brothers here.
But you do need time. But, you know, if you look back to the 80s, you know, we lived on pints of lagers. Yeah. We never had energy drinks and energy foods. We had pints of lager and fish and chips and steak and chips. Didn't stop us playing three games a week.
Got
and
dropped at Kendall well. Senior having a lime in your pint, did you? Lime on lime.
Yeah. Is that a top? Is that a top? Yeah.
It dropped.
Oh. For me, I think there's two main areas and. As Derek said before, I think goalkeeper is paramount. I think you build from the back. For me, I'd like us to sign Butland. I don't know how he's going to be after breaking his leg, but it's his hands that. So I can't see that affecting him that much. But if he costs 25 million, he costs 25 million. The way I look at it, if he signs now, he's 23, we'll get 10 good years out of him. You pay 25, is he worth £2.5 million a season? Easy.
Yeah.
But the only problem I think you've got is the striker role. Are you going to get someone who's good enough to come in knowing that he's not going to be playing every week because Rom's not going to get dropped? Yeah. And are we going to play two up front or are we going to...
I think they could go with a striker.
I think you're probably going to look at getting maybe like a Berardi type player or an Icardi from Inter. Play up front and then drop in the hole as well. So he will play the number 10 or maybe wide right or wide left, but he's good enough to play up front on his own. I think that's probably...
The player they're after.
Going to be our best.
Berahino to me, you can do that.
Maybe.
I know he's got a bad attitude and he's down tools for West Brom, but he's like that type of player who can play up front and behind, drop in, you know, in good play.
Any thoughts, Paul? Positions?
No, I agree with what everyone's saying. Definitely a centre forward. Goalkeeper, possibly, but I don't know, Robles and...
I've been quite impressed with Robles. I think he's not bad. He commands his area for me better than Stephen Beckham.
And yesterday, he never put a foot wrong. And let's be honest, the passion he showed on that fourth goal, running the ball into the pitch.
That's it to him. Robles, is
he? Sounds like me around Old Swan, that.
I'm not sure about... I mean, midfield. We seem to be overrun with midfield players.
Centre midfielders.
Yeah, we do. You know, you've got Barry, you've got Barkley can play there. You've
Gibson,
got
Bezic.
Bezic, yeah, I forgot all
everyone
about him.
Forgets
he's
them.
He's coming back.
But they're the ones we've not seen them. Will they have the chance to impress Kula?
Yeah.
Or will he just say, I've got you set up now?
I can't see Gibson and Bezic nipping in front of Davis.
You don't think so?
No.
I thought Bezic was going to be a major role for Koeman. I thought in the pre-season, I thought he was proper. Like, he gave him a lot of response. I can see Bezic coming back in.
I don't think Bezic is a better player than Gay. So I think Gay's a better player.
That's what I mean, you need two players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Position.
Yeah,
so you've got Bezic and Gay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the two in that mould. So when Gay's, he doesn't ever seem to be tired, like, but because he covers everywhere. But when he's not, you can throw Bezic in. Because I like Bezic. I think he's got a bit of nasty.
Where does that leave McCarthy, though?
Doesn't.
Another one.
Exactly. You know, and I think better to Gay are better than McCarthy.
If McCarthy goes, would you replace him? I don't think.
No, I don't think we need it.
So, no. I'm definitely centre forward. But as you say, if you're going to buy a top centre forward, you're paying top money. That's where all the money is, isn't it? And will he play second fiddle? The kind of money they're on now, I don't know. Don't mind sitting on the bench for 70, 80 grand a week, do they? The mentality's. I don't know, you might say I'm wrong on this, but it does seem a lot different from your day. You know, if a player was sitting on the bench, you know, he didn't like it, did he?
He hated being on the bench. We hated it. Look at the team in the 84-85 season. There was the 11 most of the season. Yeah. They had Bales at the start of the season, but Psycho came in, and then there was Richo, Alan Harper, and I think Ian Atkins were the ones that did anything else in that side. A couple of youngs at the end of the season, but... We kept about a 15-man squad for the whole of the season.
That's what I mean.
And now they're talking of 20. We need two players for each position, blah, blah, blah. Oh, the players are tired, need a rest. They've got muscle fatigue. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Look at the pitches they're on now. That's where I play. Look at the balls and the boots and everything else. Yeah, yeah. It's a different game. When
and
I
a 42-game season on top of that.
It's a different game. And replays.
Ted against Sheffield.
You had about 20 games in the 88 Cup. We didn't even make it to the quarter final. I mean,
from my point of view, I think we still need to strengthen the centre half position. I think sometimes for me, Ashley Williams I just can't take to him.
I've said that he's not the player we saw at Swansea and playing for Wales last year.
Do you think that's because of the Euros, Dexy?
I don't know. He looked at times to me, he's looked like he's not interested. He looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, Jags has made some silly mistakes. The two penalties at Etihad, for example. And Funes Mori, although he's looking better, he's still, for me, a bit of a liability in both sides, both ends of the field.
Funes Mori,
he can make mistakes and give things away.
Oh, he's pulled, that before, pulled
out, he got pulled out of position for the winning goal against Leicester. If you look at it,
the lad
does Delafeu and Davis, and then Barry dives in, but Funes Mori comes steaming out, little 1-2 pass, back of the net.
Yeah. But do you think that'll come with experience, though? Because he's still only a young centre-half.
If you look at him, did we expect him to play as many games from when he arrived? We probably didn't.
No.
We probably brought in, learn the trade, do this, but he was thrown in very early last season.
Yeah.
Him and John Stones played together quite some time when they're two very young, very inexperienced centre-halves. So there was no leader to guide him and say, this, you're doing this wrong. And I don't think either of them got much from the staff at the time as well.
Mm.
Because first and foremost, you're a defender.
Yeah.
And your job is to stop that ball going in your running back.
Yeah,
and we didn't do that well enough last season under Martinez. We're doing it far better now, but under Martinez, we made the wrong decisions at the wrong time. We didn't defend.
Possibly because the emphasis wasn't on defence.
Look at the football, it was keep the ball, pass and pass and pass, and we got caught. I know John Stones got a lot of criticism. He's going to be a great footballer, but he's not yet a defender.
No.
That's the difference.
I see him more as a defensive midfielder.
You know, he's got all the ability on the floor, got great feet, but he hasn't learned to defend yet.
Someone said about Holgate yesterday that Holgate and Stones, one looks like he wants to defend, the other one wants to look good at defending.
Yeah.
Does that mean he'll positionally change then eventually, John Stones, maybe?
I don't know.
Centre mid, maybe?
I can see him there, the defensive mid. Honestly, can see him in that.
Is that another round peg and square hole, though?
I just think he's... No, I think he'd just be like...
I just can't see him playing in that position, and the only reason I say that, I don't think he's got the engine to play in that position. Oh, you know, I think he's too much of a... I don't want to like use the term, but a bit of a show pony. You know, I don't think he'll do that grit and, you know, the run around
that
a defensive, like a Disagay does for Everton. He's not going to do that. That
it could be like a red map.
I honestly think he's best at centre half, but as Derek said, he's got to do the fundamentals.
Shearer laid into him.
He's got to first and foremost defend.
Because I was taught when I came to Everton in 82, I had a year under Colin Harvey.
Yeah.
And he made my weaknesses into strengths and my strengths even to better strengths by working on making me. So I had Alan Irvine and Alan Barley running at me doing one-on-ones. I had Big McFerguson getting balls launched and me trying to jump over 6'6" McFerguson.
Yeah.
So he worked on my weaknesses to make him strengths. And I became a better player by doing that. Has John Stones ever worked on what we would class his weaknesses?
Mm-hmm.
Is he shown how to do this in training?
Yeah.
What's Pep's thing, you know? We don't tackle. I don't teach tackle. Yeah. Hold on a minute, well, he needs to learn to tackle because he's going to have to do it sooner or later, isn't he?
He's a defender.
You know, defenders put the body on the line. And I said last year when I watched Leicester, who outshone everyone by a distance last year, and I said to him, would you have Robert Huth and Wes Morgan? Yeah. He went, no. I said, why? Mm. They can't play football. And I went, well, they can defend. Yeah. And the record shows it. Yeah. What do you want, a footballer or a defender?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very hard to get the two together. Probably the best one. Probably the two are probably Piqué and Ramos.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they
absolutely
can play football, but also defend.
Yeah. And do both. Yeah.
John Stones, no, he's got great potential, but I'd rather have an honest defender who's going to put his head on things and throw himself into positions where Ashley Williams on Sunday started just booting the ball away. John Stones would brought it down and try to dribble out. Clear your lines, get yourself set up, and away you go again.
Yeah. And when the time and space, then play football.
When the time's there. There's always the right time to play football and the wrong time to play football. Unfortunately, John Stones, I thought, took the wrong time to play football at times.
I think it got him a bit coming back to Everton.
Well, maybe. He got a bit of stick on the television, especially for the fourth goal, but he tried to clear it, but didn't get it right.
Yeah.
On his weaker foot. He's now playing left side of a two, and he's a right-footed player.
Yeah.
Jags had to do that last year to accommodate Stones when he was in.
That's right,
and Jags hasn't got a left foot. I don't think Stones has either.
No.
Just on that then, if Everton do need a centre-half...
I'm available.
Still looking weird.
What do you think on the reports of Lincoln Virgil van Dijk and Southampton? What's your thoughts on him? Is it
Virgil van Dijk, he'll have a choice of clubs in the next 6 months. Mm-hmm. Will we be in that choice of clubs that he wants to come to? Where Gunder Koeman might persuade him in the past, but if you've got a choice of, for example, Chelsea, Man United or Man City and Everton, I don't personally think he'd choose Everton. I think he'd choose one of the clubs that's going to play in European football because for some reason Champions League football, I've got to play in that. I've got to play in Champions League football.
Or China. Yeah.
I don't work that one out. But I think if we're in that list, I don't think it will be top of his list, unfortunately. I think he'll look for bigger and better things.
Yeah.
Do you think we could steal a match and maybe go all for him now in January?
We might well be.
It might be our best option.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We might well be. Payet's not playing, remember? We don't know what's going on in the background now. The problem is, when years ago when I was playing, you didn't know who was starting until it was announced on the television or the radio or the pictures in the paper. Now there's so many people in the background of football that you know who's coming long before they come, and you mentioned starting before you knew who was coming about 3 weeks ago.
You
go, why's it taking so long? I'd rather him just turn up and say, look who we signed.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen now. It's a build up all the time before we know it.
Do the players, I know it's different in your day, do the players talk about transfer, like players linked to the club or players that you think are coming in?
So many.
Does that talk go on?
I think players have agents now, and agents talk to each other, and agents have the same. They might have five players in their stable at the one club.
Yeah.
You know, so they're all talking. Oh, so and so's been in for me. Oh, yeah, he told me that.
Yeah.
Can't you? Oh, do you right? I do. You know, and it happens. So agents run the players' lives now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Agents run the players' lives. So, you know, if any player is knows of a possible move through their agent.
Yeah.
You know.
That's why you get like Costa and Payet situations.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's cleverly manoeuvred, then.
Oh, the agents run the game now, and they're very, very clever. Some of them are very clever. Some very experienced ones. Who know the ropes inside out, but they're the ones that run the players' lives now, and they're the ones that get the moves, and they're the ones that tell the player this. Oh, do you know what? So and so's have they really been in for me? How much? Well, what are you going to go for? Well, I'll probably get it £90,000 a week. Do it, and that's what, if the players will players just unfortunately now just see money. Where's the passion to go and play for that team and put a trophy on the cabinet and go to Wembley? It's not there anymore for me. No. It's all about. Oh, I've just bought a new Ferrari. Oh, you got a Lamborghini. You know, that's what it's about. It's not about the passion of playing for the team.
That's what you pulled up in outside, isn't it?
Oh, no, Lamborghini's in the garage. It's
just retracting a little bit there. I know everyone's putting questions about centre-halves, but I just wanted to ask you about Phil Jagielka, because he's probably one of my favourite Everton players. Obviously, the captain of Everton FC. Not getting much game time now, but he could be one who's maybe suffered the call of Koeman and says, yeah, I've got a future, and he's not getting any younger. But what is your thoughts on Jags?
I think Jags has been outstanding for us. He's had a career that he could rightly be proud of. I know that, well, I believe that there was a chance of going to Sunderland in the summer. I think Moisey wanted to go to Sunderland. I think he's done really well, but I don't see a long-term future for Jags at Everton at the moment. Unfortunately, I don't think he features in the manager's plans. When he comes in, you can't ever fault his efforts, his work rate, his determination, his passion, his commitment. But I don't think he's a Koeman type of player. And I think he wants a bit more people who can play a little bit more football.
Yeah.
Funes Mori likes the ball at his feet. Ashley Williams isn't great. But I think he wants someone. I think he wants a right and left footer as well. He wants that balance. Mm. And when he played last year, Jags with Stonesy and that, he was playing left hand side. Yeah, and a number of times the left foot went out of play.
Yeah.
With his passing, he's not his strongest suit is the passing, but put the shirt on and he leads the team really well. So he'll be, I wouldn't say he'll be a loss to the club, but I don't see, I at this moment, don't see Jags having much of a future under Koeman, which some people will be disappointed with, and rightly so, but you can't fault what he's done for us the last 9 or 10 years. Yeah. He's been outstanding.
He's been a great servant, hasn't he?
I mean,
I think everyone will probably hark back to the goal that he scored against Liverpool at Anfield, and you know, the passion that he showed that day was unbelievable.
He's upset to get my voice back.
He's loved playing here. He's loved playing at them. He's really enjoyed himself.
Yeah, like an old style passion for the club.
But it's one of them now. Football has moved on, and the new manager, and unfortunately I don't think he figures the new manager's long term plans, and he's either going to be a bit pop, is he happy to be a bit pop player for the next 2 or 3 seasons, just earning his keep and playing three
quite
or four.
Often they are,
so or is he? I think Jack would rather play football than sit on the bench.
I think the best thing for Jagielka to probably do is go and play up at Sunderland with Moyes and team back up with him, you know, and try and make a difference up there, because everyone knows, you know, they're going through a bit of a.
Let's face it, with the manager who got the best out of him.
Absolutely. We were linked with Kone, the big centre half at Sunderland.
Yeah.
You know, so there could be an option.
Yeah.
You know, do we want Kone? Is he good enough? What he wants? And we don't know, it could be a swap deal with money involved for there, but you know, I'm sure if he went up to Sunderland with Moyes, he'd get back to what he was doing here, which is good, solid, hard working defending.
And he'd improve Sunderland.
I think I could at my age.
That's a complete give.
Just finally on the current Everton setup, before we move on to some questions about your career, Dexy, I want to just ask a few questions to everyone, really, about three particular players. Now, three of them are different subjects of debate, different stages of the career with Everton, but it's Lukaku, Barkley and Tom Davis. Just fan perception of them, what they're up to now, where they could maybe in the future. I'll start with you, Mark. Do you want to?
My opinion of them?
All three of them, to be honest, because they seem to be three players that everyone who on social media and that, are either arguing about singing the praises, or obviously Davis yesterday, but I mean Barkley and Lukaku over the past couple of years.
I think Lukaku's irreplaceable for us completely. I think people put a lot too much emphasis on his lack of running and everything. Strachwell, he would run a million miles a match, but you know, that's not the type of player that we want up there. that goal yesterday summed up why we need him in the team. One touch, bang, back of the net. You know, that's what he gives us, and that's irreplaceable what he gives us, because there's no one else in the squad that can do that. So for me, there's no argument with Lukaku. As long as we get to sit, I think we've got to massage his ego more. I don't know, that sounds stupid, but he's that valuable to us. We've got to give him as much service as possible and accept his flaws, because what he gives us ultimately is something that no one else can give. Barkley.
No, we'll open the Lukaku up one first.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that's quite hot. Anyone else anything to add on Lukaku there? I'd probably agree with everything he's just said then, so I'm not going to.
What else about Lukaku? I think this new three at the back formation helps him.
Yeah.
Because when he was up in his own, he was trying to run down the channels and at times and get the ball, and then he's not in the box. If he works the width of the penalty box, I think he's going to get goal after goal after goal.
Yeah.
But he's got to make sure that, and this formation we've got now with the two wing backs or the full backs pushed on and Morales and Barkley, he's staying more central. When he's outside, that's one of the problems. I look back to the Moyes era, and we signed some really good centre forwards.
Yeah.
But one up front, run the channels, they weren't getting the goals.
Yeah.
And Yakubu, Johnson, BT, yeah. we ruined quite a lot of good centre forwards coming to Everton because of the formation we played. And when he plays the one up front with Lukaku, he's not a lone striker.
No. Yeah.
But when we play this, it's been two or three times, this formation seems to suit him. But he has more people around him. Morales is closer to him. Barkley's not far off him, and he can stay central. He can stay width of the goal of the penalty area, where he's going to be more dangerous. And I think the formation we play is crucial to how Lukaku does. 4-4-2 might not suit him. Mm. Being up front of his own doesn't suit him. But what we're playing now, you can see he looks like he's going to get more and more opportunities.
He's got all the false nines behind him who are contributing to
this false nine, number nine, false ten. I'm an old fashioned footballer, I think. But I do think that the new formation, especially on Sunday, allows Lukaku to occupy the centre halves, both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
And he made it so hard for centre halves on Sunday.
I agree.
And I think the formation is crucial to what we get out of Lukaku going forward.
I think at times this season, I think we've done Lukaku a bit of a disservice, because in some games, you know, you look at the way we've set up with, you know, the two old midfielders, and at times we kick off and sometimes we just drop that 5 or 10 yards back, which then leaves Lukaku so isolated. Yeah. And all the centre halves and the wing backs are doing is just launching it upfield and hoping that he'll pick up on the scraps. And it's not playing to extent whatsoever. As I just said, you know, you're playing with that three at the front now, right across the front, and it seems to help him get into the game a bit.
What I will say, if you look back to when he was up front on his own, when the ball broke away and the other team attacked, he ambled back.
Yeah.
He didn't do it on Sunday. He got back in quickly because he knew, like, I've got a chance to get the ball back now. Yeah. So he wasn't slow coming back.
Yeah.
Was he caught offside on Sunday?
Not once.
No. Was he caught offside over the game up front on his own? All the time.
All the time.
Because he ambles back. All of a sudden he thinks, hey, I've got a chance here. And he seems to be getting back into position quicker because you know he's got more chance to win the ball back quickly.
Yeah. So he's not disheartened.
Yeah. He's got. You could see it on Sunday. Yeah. You know, I sat on the couch watching on the telly, and it was brilliant. The whole emphasis on the team was front foot.
Yeah,
we've not been on the front foot enough this season, but Lukaku needs that, and I think you saw that on Sunday. He was always in a position to receive the ball, to lay it off, or to upset the centre halves.
Yeah,
and we haven't seen that all season.
Where do you rate Lukaku in Everton's strikers across generations? Where do you rank him in that? And you've played with some.
It's hard to say.
Well, last strikers.
I my personal footballer here was Bob Latchford. I thought he was outstanding.
Yeah.
In the mid-80s, pound for pound, was there a better all-round striker than Graham Sharp? Probably not.
No.
He was outstanding. Mm. Duncan Ferguson, just a big, tall, aggressive, in-your-face, battering ram at times. He's probably the best we've had, probably since Sharpie.
Yeah.
As an out-and-out centre forward, he's not a Tony Cotty, he's not a little whippersnapper, he's not a Duncan Ferguson, but I think pound for pound, he's probably the best we've had since Sharpie,
who
I think was probably the best striker of of that era, because he could do everything Sharpie.
Yeah.
He could hold the ball up, use both feet, head the ball, link up. I thought he was out. Him and Mark Hughes were the best two I played against as tough strikers. Mick Arthur was just a nasty piece of work, he used to beat me black and blue, but Sharpie and Mark Hughes, but I think Sharpie pound for pound was probably the best striker I never put, when people ask me who's your best player, I never put Sharpie in there, and I really should do. But I spent most of my time playing with him, not against him.
Absolutely.
You know, I played against Mick Arthur for 10 years and Mark Hughes for 10 years. I had about 3 years against Sharpie, about six games. Yeah. But in that time, pound for pound, I think he was probably the best striker of his generation. He was brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you know, you just mentioned then Duncan Ferguson. Since Ferguson's like moved up into like the first team training, I think he's had a big influence on Rom. You know, I think he's getting stuck in a bit more, and he's got a bit more Ferguson about. Well, Dan, have you seen the picture on Twitter? Yeah. You can just see that.
Even at the end when he put his arm around Lukman, you know, after he'd scored, he's becoming, like people have said, oh, he's a bit of a mentor now as well. Even at 23. He's not 23, is he? No. You look at him and he looks like a 30-year-old, doesn't he? He's a real athlete. He's experienced an awful lot already. He's played for two or three clubs. He's an international striker.
Yeah.
So
I think he broke Ferguson's record yesterday. But he played about 100
games. Yeah. But what Dexy says there about his comparison with Lukaku and Shaw, I do feel like a lot of Evertonians need to realise that, and that's just my personal opinion. I'm not saying he's devoid of any criticism at all, because no player isn't, but I think people need to realise what we've got and enjoy it whilst it's here.
I'd agree with that. And Bob Latchford was my hero in the 70s as well. But one thing I will say, similar about Latchford, Sharp and Lukaku, if you say they're the best three strikers we've had over that period, they were always called lazy. My dad used to call Latchford the laziest player on the pitch, but he scored your goals. The same with Sharp. People used to say, he only turns up for the big game, he's lazy. He wasn't, he was brilliant. Same with Lukaku. You'd rather have a player who'd score you 20 to 30 goals a season than a workhorse who'll score you 15.
I
look at a centre forward.
That sentence sums it up. Yeah.
I look at a centre forward the same as I look at a centre half. First and foremost, I want my centre half to defend. First and foremost, I want my centre forward to score goals.
Be in the box.
I don't want my centre forward running ring, like, you know, chasing balls left, right, and centre. I want him staying in the middle and scoring goals. The midfield or the front, the two players that he's playing up front with, will do all that work for you.
The only player I've seen that you can do both, and I hate mentioning him, is Suarez. He's the only one who I can do both the running and the scoring. The only
he's horrible.
He is horrible. I'm red sight, so I'm sorry
and
for
I
that.
I kept that clean.
I'm really sorry for that.
So moving on the subject of Lukaku, Ross Barkley, Dexy, I'll come to you first. He's not. I don't know whether he's ever going to be Evertonian's cup of tea. Some people seem to have it in for him. For me, I'm a fan. Any young Evertonian playing for Everton, I'm a fan. He done well yesterday, didn't he? He doesn't always do well. He seems to maybe not have some of the mental strength. People have criticised him for a host of different reasons, but what's your thoughts?
When Ross came on the scene, was it 5 years ago now?
Yeah, must
be. He was outstanding. He was instinctive. He just did things without any worry, any fear.
Yeah.
And I always hark back to that goal at Newcastle when he ran length of pitch.
Yeah. As a world,
that was Ross, as Ross was in those days. But as you get a bit more experience, you get a bit more media coverage, you start listening a bit more. But I think the biggest problem was, I think he was a little bit misguided over the last couple of years under Martinez. I think he kept saying, oh, Ross, you're great, Ross, you're great, Ross. And he wasn't playing well. And he's lost that instinctiveness he had. And he's for me, he's taking too many touches on the ball and his head's down too often. When he used to get the ball, his head was up and the ball moved. Now his head's down, he takes a touch. But Sunday, we start to see the glimpses of what Ross can do. We know what he can do. We're going to take you back now to the summer. He had a poor season with Everton, made the European squad, went to Euros, didn't play a single minute, comes back and is promptly omitted from all the squads.
Yeah.
And he's told by his manager that you're not as good as think you are, so in the media. So he's gone from being England's best, and people are a bit...
Yeah.
And I think his attitude has always been positive, but I think inside he's may have started to doubt himself a little bit because of what he's had. But I think the formation, Ross is not a holding midfield player.
No.
Ross can't do it. When you see him, he's a strap, he's a big lad. He's a unit.
Yeah.
But
he's almost like Mark Hughes in physique.
He's a big lad.
He's grown.
But he needs now to find the right role. And I think this formation we're playing, you know, might just be the role he needs. But I think when he came on the scene, he was superb.
Yeah.
But I think he's just not... I think he's stalled the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's gone backwards. He's stalled.
Yeah.
He hasn't progressed like he should have done.
Yeah.
And I'm looking... I use Pellerin against Paul Gascoigne. Probably the most naturally talented English cup I've ever played against.
Unbelievable.
But he was misguided. And we see it now.
Yeah.
Where were those people that loved him when he was playing? Where are they now?
Exactly.
They've left him, and he's now suffering because of it.
Yeah.
And Ross needs someone to guide him better than Gazza was.
Yeah.
This new manager might be that little thing in the paper might be what Ross needed.
Yeah.
It might be what he needed, but it could also be knocking him back again. But I think Sunday we start to see a little bit more what Ross can do.
Yeah.
He's got to start doing it regularly now.
When was the last home game? Was against Southampton when Koeman brought him off on 80-85 minutes, and that was a clever move and for the standing ovation. Yeah. And I thought then the turn of the year, we're going to see also, hopefully a new Ross Barkley.
Yeah. I think Tom Davies coming into the team has took a lot of the shine lights right off him.
Yeah.
And now Ross can do his thing, while Tom Davies just looks amazing next to him.
I was just going to ask you, where do you see Ross as a player? Because I don't see him as a number 10. I don't think mentally and intelligently, I don't think he's got them little runs, the little passes. I can see him in a three-man midfield, so like where you've got like Garner, who's a destroyer, and then you've got two other people who are going to create from deeper. I think he sees more deeper and driving with the ball. I think it plays to his strengths.
It's one of them. What you've got to think of not only what the man, but what does Ross want to do? Where does Ross want to play? How far does Ross want to take his career? Does he want to go down in the history of our football club as being one of the most outstanding players we've ever produced? It's up. Yeah. I think it's up to Ross now. Whether he plays in that number 10 role or just in front of Garner, whoever it is, he's got the chance now. And I, as much as we talk about positions and players, what we think is irrelevant to what the manager thinks.
Yeah, completely. And
what is the manager doing with Ross now? After that little telling off in the paper, you know, has Ross really knuckled down in training? I don't know. I don't watch training. I only see the games. Has he knuckled down in training? Is he listening to the people around him?
Yeah.
But I think whether it's the number 10... whatever the number 10 role is, false number 9. I just like 4-4-2. But he's definitely not a holding midfield player. No. He's not a Guy or a Barry. He needs to be in front. He needs to be going forward with the ball all the time.
Yeah.
Doesn't want his back to the goal, playing up with Lukaku. He needs to be going forward.
Yeah.
But I think he's got the potential to go down on the history books of Everton as one of the greatest we've seen, if he's allowed to do it.
Yeah.
And if he wants to do it.
Yeah,
you know, is he motivated to do it?
Yeah.
You know, he's 23 now, is it?
Yeah, 23.
You know, he's been in the first. He's played more games than I played for Everton.
Yeah.
Already.
Really? Oh,
that's amazing.
You know, and
in his short career. Yeah.
You know, what has he really achieved? In my 100 games for Everton, I was a league champion twice.
Yeah.
You know, and these players now are playing 300 games and getting nothing out of the career.
No.
You know.
Jags.
You know, it's one of them. But I do think Ross can. I think there's more to come from Ross, and I think Koeman could be the man to get out of Maroon.
Yeah. I hope you're right. You're definitely a subject of debate, Ross Barkley, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he still will.
He's one of them that I think divides opinion, massively divides opinion in Everton.
No question.
Some people can't stand him.
Yeah.
Some people would sell him tomorrow. And if I said to you now, if someone came with 35 million for Ross Barkley money, would you take it?
I wouldn't.
There's the answer. There's the answer, isn't it?
He tries things other players don't, and when they don't come off, he gets a lot more stick than a McCarthy or a Barry.
One thing I will say, though, with them being an Evertonian, there's not one Evertonian who doesn't want him to do it. I think that's the problem. We all want him to do it.
Yeah.
He doesn't quite... Sometimes he doesn't quite do it, and that puts a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I know Seddo had a few words to say on Ross Barkley because you obviously sing his praises every night on Twitter, don't you?
Yeah, I think everyone knows my feelings on Barkley, to be fair.
Let's just summarise it then before we move on to Tom Davidson yesterday.
My feelings on Barkley, I think he does he makes the easy things look awkward. I don't think he does the simple things enough for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, lately I think he's been really good. You know, he's come on leaps and bounds in the past few weeks, and for all credit to him for doing that. But for me, he doesn't grab the games by the scruff of the neck enough. You know, he's, what is he now, 23 years of age.
Yeah.
For me, he should be grabbing the games by the scruff of the neck and dragging the team through and turning the draw into a win for me. I just don't think he does enough.
But as I said, that's why I think over the last couple of years under Martinez, that was taken out of him.
He's regressed.
He did it when he came in the team. He's just stalled. He's not. And I think you've got to put a lot of the blame on Martinez.
Martinez given it a three bags full of points. If
Koeman could have come in 2 years ago, Ross might still be up there now. But I think he's stalled in 2 years. You're right what you say. But I think he stalled under Martinez last couple of years. I think the team stalled.
Yeah.
The whole team stalled because there was no, I wouldn't say a direction, but we could pass for fun, but we couldn't do it with the ball.
You think the first season went through dead quick? The first season
we still had the Moyes mentality in the lads.
Yeah.
We still had the Moyes, we're not letting the ball in the back of our net.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, boys, want you to pass the ball around now. The keeper gets it, centre off, split, full backs push on, mid. Oh, what? And it was a shock to the players.
Yeah.
If we'd have said, just get it and launch it, would have been far better. But the two different styles, we're not going to get beat under Moyes. We're going to be strong and solid. Became, let's play football,
play
boys.
Football.
And that affected a lot of people, including Ross.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there was no, for me, there wasn't the direction the players needed to say this is how it should be played.
And the safety net had gone.
Yeah.
He was trying to get players like this down at Jagielka, who've been defenders all their lives.
It doesn't
work. Take his hand.
See, I wasn't. My job was to defend. If I booted the ball into row 39, I was quite pleased.
Absolutely.
Because it gave us chance to get the back four set up, the midfield set up. Organised. If you try and take chances and lose the ball, you're caught behind all the time.
I just
think over the last couple of years under Martinez, that's how he played football. It was a bit. Not, I wouldn't say it was gung ho.
Yeah.
There wasn't much defensive shape.
No.
Where were the goals from corners and free kicks? Yeah. Did we score a goal for corner, Martinez? I can't remember.
He didn't practice that.
It was a miracle if we got a ball in under Martinez.
Yeah,
he did quality ball.
He didn't believe in corners.
No.
Or such a massive part of the game. You know.
Do you think now then, this season, and probably into next season as well, in terms of Barkley, do you think this could be the defining sort of two seasons for him? And where do you see him probably going after them two seasons if he doesn't fulfil his potential?
I think the next 4 months, 5 months of the season for Ross are crucial. I think if he can play like he did on Sunday, on a regular basis, and I said before, the formation's got to be important for him, as it is for Lukaku.
Yeah.
I think Ross could get back to where he was 3 or 4 years ago, because we've got a manager who's been around the game for donkey's years, it feels like now.
Yeah.
And he's won the highest trophies, played in the highest leagues, he's managed, and I think he can help him enormously, I really do. But Ross needs to get his head up a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Well, the ball used to come to him, his head was up before he received it, know where the ball was going.
Now the
head's down, the first touch is there, then he gets the head up and the man's closing down. He doesn't do the quick, he was really quick 3 or 4 years, he was brilliant. He moved it quickly.
That's what I was saying about it, it's almost like he does the easy things. He overcomplicates it, whereas what you just said there, you know, years ago when he first came on the scene, he was almost on the half turn straight away before the ball's even got to him.
The example I use this season, we went down to Chelsea, we tried to match him. And how quick did they move the ball?
Yeah.
I thought they were a machine.
Do we move the ball that quick?
No.
And that's the difference.
Yeah.
The best teams move the ball quickly because A, they want to receive the ball, B, they're ready to receive the ball, and C, they know where the next pass is going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you watch the top teams, it's dump, and you go, whoa, the passes.
Yeah.
City did it at times for us yesterday.
Yeah.
Quick pass and you go,
after 20 minutes they did.
How many times do we slow the game down?
Oh yeah.
We take the extra touch and we don't put it in the corner and people's not ready to receive it. The best teams have players who want the ball all the time.
Absolutely.
And they're happy to have
it. Silver yesterday.
And that is where we've got to get to.
Yeah.
We've got to get a group of players in that same sort of formation and format to do it, because Chelsea against Everton in the final, they absolutely moved. I've never seen a ball move so quickly.
No, mate. I thought they
really
have.
It was bum all the time.
Do you think that impacts on Barkley then, when you just said about Everton slowing the game down and, you know, you're passing it across the back and then you're passing it across the middle? Do you think slowing the game down probably has a negative impact on Ross Barkley?
It closes the space down. The more passes you take, the more the opposition get behind the ball and get set up. The quicker you move it, the less chance they've got to get into a position. And I think it does hurt Ross that we do move the ball too slowly.
Yeah.
I will say, so a couple of times yesterday, I know he did really well yesterday against Man City, but he was no more than 3 or 4 yards away from a player.
Yeah.
And he didn't bust a gut to win the ball back. He just jogged behind him.
Yeah. That's I think that's where fans get on.
That's where Reedy would go, have it.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
No way, you're getting past Reedy like
that. But a couple of times when I think he could have gone and made a challenge. He jogged back in.
Yeah.
And that's what you see as fans. You might not remember that really, really great pass from right to left, but yeah. He could have got there quicker and closed him down.
Yeah,
he's got to do that better. But is Ross a natural tackler? I'd say no, he's not.
No.
I think he would get
close space better though, yeah.
But just closing the ball down quicker,
yeah.
Gets the player's head down. And be right with the ball back. Let him run away from you, but his head's going to be up, and they can create things that way.
I think Kieran gets dead frustrated with Ross. I think he knows how good he can be, and it's just Ross can have a brilliant game and then revert to really poor the next week. There's no momentum with him.
He knows
it just
the
stops. It's like he starts from afresh every game. You know.
But it's only taken us an hour to get there. We need to talk about yesterday.
That's a record
for us. Dex, sweating here. His
pizza's gone.
His pizza's gone.
It's in the bin now.
Well, we won't keep you much longer.
Dex, you just died out till about three.
before we attempt to get to you asking you some questions about your career, Dex, which we won't keep you long, but yesterday, Tom Davis brings it on nicely. The overall performance was fantastic, wasn't it? I mean, he was just one highlight from the day. I would say Mason Holgate.
Oh, absolutely.
Gareth Barry was great. Morales, who I don't say I like the lad at all, but he had a really good game. And obviously the players we've already mentioned who've got on the score sheet. It was an all-round fantastic day at Goodison Park, wasn't it? And I mean, get everyone's opinions on it, but obviously Tom Davis was a big talking point.
Well, I agree. I mean, he's been good since he's come in. I mean, I think he made his debut against Norwich the end of last season, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he was great. I think he put in a man of the match performance that day as well. But yesterday, I mean, it was just a breath of fresh air. That little skip thing, whatever it was called, what he did.
My jaw still on the floor now.
Davis chop. It was breathtaking. It really was. It was, you know, dare I say, it reminded me of achieving 84, 85, they used to do stuff like that as well.
But
and, you know,
did we?
No.
Do you know
what it reminds me of? Kanchelskis. When Kanchelskis got the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Every time he just wants to drive forward and just take men on all the time. That's what it reminds me of. I know he's playing in a different position, but from the position that he came from, that's what it just reminds me of.
Absolutely.
The crowd, it was almost, for the Scouse crowd mainly, it was almost an ole that came from the crowd for that. It was absolutely wonderful. And for that to end in a goal, just
the way,
you know, I've got two goals down, I've got bruises on my arms. That you know, back in the day, that's how it
was. And I tell you what, sorry to jump quickly back to Lukaku, but it shows you what a good striker is. He wanted that goal, didn't he?
I know. Do you know what? And if he would have touched it, it would have been credited to his goal.
You look at the shot because Lukaku runs away like he scored that.
He thought he touched it.
There have been 39,000 other people there fuming there.
What about Davis's celebration though? When he jumped in a crowd. That's the stuff of dreams.
That's just how we would do it.
But he's against, you know, your Yaya Toure, Silver, Aguero, all these players, Pep Guardiola.
Yeah, Toure.
And Tom Davis is doing that little thing. And absolutely brilliant. It just seemed like everything went our way yesterday as well.
How does it make a centre half feel when you've got someone like Davis in front?
Well, he's
like
no Otamendi, is he?
Well, I know that.
No. Otamendi's no Mountfield.
You're right.
How does it sort of make a centre half feel when you've got someone probably that good in front of you?
It's a totally different formation to play now when I played. I had really a Bracewell in front of me. Reedy was the I'll get stuck in and I'll tackle. Brace was a good tackler, but they could both play football.
Yeah.
But we had two people either side of us were magicians with the ball in Sheedy and Stephen.
Yeah.
And they were magicians with the ball. But Tom Davis, two instances last couple of games that sums up how good Tom is and how he feels about himself is the pass for Lukaku's goal against Southampton. Which was one touch. Ross would have taken a touch before you played it in.
Definitely.
No problem.
And the goal on Sunday the 1st, the pass for Morales into the space.
Yeah,
that's
it beautifully.
That's the sign of a lad who's got confidence now.
Yeah.
He didn't do those passes when he just did his job.
Yeah.
Now he's got confidence, he's going outside the job.
The chest, the 20-yard chest.
He reacts to the tackle from Sterling, who stood at him on the thigh.
Yeah.
He reacts. He's now doing things that he wouldn't have done when he first came in. It's confidence.
His personality.
He believes in himself. Yeah. He's had a run in the team. He's you can see
he feels like he belongs in that team now. Yeah.
He feels like he's in there now. And those two things, but the run for the goal. You know, if that had been, I'm not going to say Ross or Seamus, they'd have probably cut back and tried to find somebody.
Yeah.
He just did something I never saw coming. The two City players went and got a pie and came back. totally sold him the dummy. And to finish with the goal, the way he took the goal was sublime. It was brilliant. It was superb.
Which a normally player would thrash at that. I'm not even a footballer, I don't know what I'm talking about. But normally a player doesn't have that composure after a run like that, does it? You know?
I say it's the confidence that the lad's got. Yeah. Gallant confidence. I saw Unzi about, this game was it? I think it might be the Arsenal game.
Yeah.
Before Christmas, I went to the game and he came out afterwards and we had a little chat. And I said, what about the lad Davis? He said he's ready for the first team now. So he should be in there now, he's ready. Yeah. And Unzi's that confident that
like
6-7 weeks ago he should be in the first team.
Yeah.
He's now had a run of games in the side. Holgate's come back in again and looked comfortable.
Oh, brilliant.
But Davis, all credit to that, he's grasped that position.
Oh, yeah.
And when Guy comes back, when Schneidl is match fit, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's a lovely option.
If you take him out, you're going to go mad.
Yeah.
You lot are going to go mad.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
he's come in and he's now set a standard. And that's why I said on my tweet at the weekend, we've set standards now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that standard we set on Sunday, we cannot let that drop at all.
No.
We can't let it drop. It's got to be that same standard, game after game, week after week now.
Would you say Davis is then probably doing what Ross Barkley done when he first come into the team? He's playing with no fear.
No fear. You know, he's not listening to the media. He's not listening to his agent chirping his ear. He's not being called. When my worry now is that he'll have another couple of good games and all of a sudden he's in Gareth Southgate's England squad.
Yeah.
And then I know he's already been called up to train with the first England squad a couple of years ago.
Mm.
But it might be too early for it.
Definitely.
I don't know. You've got to be careful because we only have 3 or 4 good games now in the first team and players are pulled up for the country and get a cap.
Ridiculous.
And very quickly that they become, oh, look what I am. And it could be the wrong thing for them.
Absolutely.
It never happened to me because I never got my full cap, but I never got the chance to do it. But nowadays, we sort of throw caps at people too easily and too quickly. You know, let him have 50, 60 games in the first team before you throw a cap at, not 10 or 12 or 13.
He seems very grounded though, doesn't he?
Yeah,
as you just said, Derek, it's a case of when the media bigs him up, when all this pressure suddenly comes on him, can he handle it? And I think that's probably what happened to Ross. And he sort of went back on himself, as you said. Well, not went back, but he stalled because he believed it all. I agree with you. I think the best thing for him would be maybe look at finish the season, maybe get the start of next season out the way, maybe after Christmas next year, then maybe look at putting him in the England setup. And he's had a good year, 18 months in the first team.
But that won't happen, of
course. No, it won't.
We know he's young, he hasn't learned to shave, has he yet?
No.
But didn't he come from a footballing background, though, isn't his uncle Alan?
Alan Whittle.
He looks like Alan Whittle, doesn't he?
The locks are, yeah.
Yeah. He does look like a member of an indie band as well, but you know, we'll take that.
The Ketwig Kaiser, he's been labelled by some on Twitter, not by me.
He's had more stick for his facial hair and his haircut than his football. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
Just one thing, I think it's a joke.
It's good to see a local lad doing it, though, innit? You know, with the confidence.
Yeah.
A local lad as well, who's come in that age, and then obviously the other young lad off the bench later on.
You've also got to give a bit of praise to what's happening on the youth setup now.
Well, of course,
The clubs now over there for 15 years never really gave you the chance, but now we're producing some really good, promising kids. We've got quite a few on loan.
Yeah.
I speak to Joe Rawl now and again, and his job is to go around and check on the loan signings are out there, so he goes to watch all the players away. And we've got some good players out there at the moment.
Yeah.
But we've also got some good players now. We're knocking on the first team
door,
which is all credit to the academy lads, but also to Sheeds and Unzi.
Yeah.
18s and 23s.
Callum Connolly having a debut, two goals on his debut for Wigan. He's only a right back, isn't he?
But, you must say that, because we are producing some excellent kids now. We've got a bit of a reputation now, and
we've now got
used, the manager's got to use those kids and give them the opportunities, which we've seen so far this season.
Would you compare then the youth set up now for the players that have come through that the academy system, probably in terms of a Man United when Beckham, Neville, would you compare it to that sort of era? I know it's a big label to put on the kids at the minute, but
I think that's a bit early, because they produce five or six absolutely fantastic players at one time. There was actually seven, but he wasn't fantastic, and he was called Robbie Savage.
He was in
editorial. We've now got Holgate, we've got Davis, we've got Barkley come through.
Yeah.
There's this Conor Grant as well, and we've talked where he was coming through. I don't know what happened to him now, but there's little players out there.
He's all over Doncaster.
We've got good kids coming through. So obviously the scout network's good. The format, the coaching, the academies must be doing it right. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, the 18s under Sheeds and the 23s under Unzi must be doing the right thing with those kids. I believe Pennington's very good. Joe Royal thinks he's a fantastic lad. Browning's coming back. We've got Galloway, who's out on loan. He's expected coming back. We can't get a game. Think of all those kids we've got there. Yeah. I just pulled two or three names out there. All credit to the staff in the academy for bringing these. And this Calvert-Lewin was identified at Sheffield United as a prospect, because that's where Dave Underwood came from.
Well,
absolutely.
On Calvert-Lewin, do you know, I found out David Unsworth said we're missing like a striker at the throughout coming through up the ages, and David Unsworth has got his own budget now, but that's not anything to do with Everton.
That's right.
And he can basically say for instance, there's no left sided players coming through the academy, and he knows that they can go basically pick whoever they want.
Yeah.
And Unsworth said every player that he's asked the board to get, they've got, he wants a Calvin Lewin because obviously he worked with him at Sheffield United, and he just went out and got him. He said he's got his own budget, he's got his own thing, and basically,
Koeman likes it.
He said to me, he speaks to Koeman every day, and he said he's on a Koeman. This player's ready in his ear.
But that's one thing didn't happen under Martinez. I believe there was no communication between him and the academy side of things at all.
No,
that's what I've led to believe. You know, I know she just said that before. And
yeah, he did.
You know,
yeah.
But then the academy side is a very important part of the future of the club. You know, we could have a couple of kids in the under sixes now, who in 12 years' time could be the next Tom Davis, but you don't know.
No,
so it's important, and all credit to what's gone on. Maybe Finch Farm's helped him. Has Finch Farm helped him get the people in there? But all credit to those at the back who are doing that. But we've got some really promising youngsters coming through at the moment, I feel.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Well, I think that brings it nicely to a close, to be honest. A nice summary.
Cheers, boys.
Actually, we need some ridiculous stories now.
What we're going to do now is we're going to have a quick break and check on Degsy's pizza and then bring him back to just speak about his career. So, thanks very much.
Cheers.
We'll be back in a second.